Blog Talk Radio.
Your questions, your health. This is Mind Matters.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Mind Matters. My name is Zoheb, and I will be your host for today. Mind Matters is a radio show produced by My Sahana, which is a South Asian mental health nonprofit. We are doing this radio show to hear your voice and get your questions answered and talk to you about what's on your mind. Today, we are talking about domestic violence, an issue which is the leading cause of injury to women, more than car accidents, muggings, and rape combined. We want to know what your questions are and what your thoughts are. So give us a call. You can call us in at 347-539-5798. You can also send us a Facebook message at facebook.com/mysahana or tweet us at mysahana. There are so many ways to get in touch with us, and we want to answer your questions today. We also have an amazing guest with us on the show today to answer your domestic violence questions. She is a commissioner for the Santa Clara County Domestic Violence Council and a member of the Police Victim Advocacy Committee. In addition, she is the program director at Maitri and has been an advocate for survivors of domestic violence for 13 years. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you all Sarah Khan. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Hi, Suhaib. Thank you for having me on the show.
It's our pleasure. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself and what Maitri is?
Absolutely. So I think you gave a pretty succinct description of what I do. I joined Maitri in 2004, but before that I used to work out of New York, and that's where I found that people who are of South Asian origin, that's where I'm from, face a slightly different nuanced abuse, and mainstream organizations may not always catch that. And so when I moved to California and got a chance to work with Maitri, I totally loved it, and I love my job. So coming to Maitri, we were founded in 1991, so we are here. We have been around for 22 years, and our mission is very simple. We focus on supplementing and complementing existing services, and we don't duplicate them. We also try and help people integrate into mainstream society while holding on to their cultural roots. And the biggest one is we work towards fostering self-reliance and self-confidence in the people we work with, because we believe that a large number of difficulties that people face arise out of a real or perceived situation of dependency. And that's why our motto is to help women help themselves.
Great.
And I was going to tell you about some of our services. We speak about 15 languages between ourselves. We are completely confidential. We offer peer counseling, a transitional home service that I will talk to you about in a little bit, and then also legal advocacy.
Great. Well, we are talking with Sarah Khan, Program Director of Maitri, a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping families suffering from domestic violence. If you have questions, comments, thoughts on domestic violence, or anything like that, please give us a call at 347-539-5798. That's 347-539-5798. You can leave us a message on our Facebook fan page at MySahana or tweet us at MySahana, and we definitely look forward to hearing your questions or thoughts. Well, Sarah, let's go ahead and start talking directly about domestic violence. Perhaps you could enlighten us on what exactly is domestic violence.
Sure. So basically, Zohaib, I think everybody has a right to live free from violence and that we can all take preventive action against it. Domestic violence is not just physical abuse, but it could also be mental cruelty, emotional trauma, or, you know, withholding immigration papers. It's all a matter of, if you enter into a relationship, there is equality, you know, there is give and take. Every couple fights, or, you know, you may have fights with even your friends. But when somebody is controlling and doesn't give you a chance to exercise your thoughts and it's all about their power and their control, then that is what, you know, that is what we define broadly as domestic violence. A lot of people call it intimate partner violence. Some people call it physical abuse. But, you know, I just gave you a general description of that.
Mm-hmm. And what are some of the signs of domestic violence?
You mean signs in the perpetrator or the victim?
Oh,
I can talk about both.
Okay.
So there is no fixed sign, if you will. You know, it's like people don't walk around saying I'm a victim, or people don't really walk around saying that I'm the batterer. So it is things that you look for in a relationship, you know. So some of the things that if we could talk about the Julia Roberts movie, which was the other extreme end of, you know, having this person stalk her. It doesn't happen that, I mean, stalking does happen in our community. We've also had about 93 deaths up until 2004. But I think some of the things are, does your partner put you down? Does your partner take away some of the choices that you may be able to make, you know? So those are some of the things that tell us what the person is really up to. If some broad examples are, you're living together and then you are earning the money also, but you have no access to finances. A lot of times we see people can't call their home countries. They are about to have children. They can't bring their family over. It's up to the person if they allow the other spouse to, drive or open a bank account. So the range is really wide. I can't give you like an exact example of this is what the perpetrator does. And same thing with the victim. We have this notion, again, brought about by cinema, that there's this cowering, quiet person who, you know, cries at the drop of the hat. I just want to go out there and say that some of the women who are victims of abuse, or people who are victims of abuse, because we work with both men and women, are the most strong people we would have ever seen. It takes a lot to live with somebody who you think loves you and then puts you down constantly in many ways, with physical abuse being one of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. I mean, it is definitely a very difficult situation overall. So how does Maitri help people like this who are suffering?
I would say that, you know, when our founders came up, founded Maitri in 1991, it happened because a lot of people, so it's founded by the community and has been largely, we are very lucky to have great community support. And since our work we find ourselves working with people who face domestic violence or cultural displacement and unresolved conflict, the need for us was that this agency kind of understood the cultural nuances and challenges that South Asians, in situations of family violence face. If you maybe 20 years ago would walk into a mainstream shelter, we operate out of San Francisco Bay Area, people were not 100% clear. The regular shelters wanted to help, but, a lot of times people would go away because the culture of the shelter was not suited to them. Now, shelters are very good places to be. But what I meant by the culture is that, you know, there must be a person who was abused and was pulled to the shelter would be a vegetarian, or needed a place to pray, or I think another reason was that the abuse was not by her intimate partner, but it would be by extended family. Or even worse, it is long-distance abuse. You know, people call and say that my in-laws in pick whatever country, whatever state, are telling my husband to do ABC. And a lot of times, the counselors would tell them, well, get out of the relationship and get a restraining order. Culturally, we don't even do that, right? I mean, and the way Maitri works is it's all about choices. It's all about what the victim or the survivor wants. And so we will work with them if they want to be in a relationship and, you know, get skill sets that would get them stronger and on their way to building a life for themselves, even while in the same relationship. That's her choice. We are there to support them. So, yeah.
Right. And that's probably what makes it very different, too, is the cultural sort of effect that our culture has on people. It's different dealing with South Asians, correct?
It is absolutely very different. I also worked in mainstream, so I kind of know the difference in both places. Where cultural, what Maitri does is we also use like a holistic approach to domestic violence, you know, that integrates immigration, cultural, legal, and housing issues. So what happens is if somebody, you know, calls us, they may not just necessarily need, they would not even have called the cops, right? I mean, the banging happened, the fighting happened, the neighbors called the cops, and now here this person is taken away. Now what happens? The woman actually may want, Zuhaib, I need to stop myself here for one second and tell you that I use the word woman, even though we do work with men, is because at least 98% of the clients that we serve are women. And not to take away from any violence that happens against the men, domestic violence is equally bad in anybody, a man, woman, or somebody in a same-sex relationship. But it's just that the majority of the time, that is our reality, it's women who face it. So I tend to say women.
Okay, so, that's definitely understandable.
Okay, so coming back to it, like, you know, a woman may not want to file charges. In fact, in our culture, we don't really like to file any charges against the spouse, because at one point you are thinking about reconciliation. You actually love the person, and he may be the father of your children, and there is a lot of family pressure. Even if you want to leave, you know, your parents may tell you, they may try and adjust, or there may be a sibling who's waiting to get married. And just the shame, you know, we are pretty big on shaming the actual
right.
victim rather than the perpetrators. So I think some of the stuff, work that we have to do is actually focus more and more and say that we, it's not your fault. You are not the one who's responsible for it. It's the perpetrator, the batterer, who's responsible for it. But as a society, our collective mindset is, what did she do that he hit you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Right, definitely. And especially in our culture, community plays a big part, like you mentioned. So how can the community help, especially when, as mentioned, the South Asian culture is very strong on community and family?
Right, absolutely. So we are very strong in community and family, which is really, really great, right? I mean, it's a double-edged sword. It's also the community that plays a big role. But at the same time, if the community is aware of domestic violence issues and they contribute, they could volunteer. We have a lot of SAVOs, is what they are called, South Asian Women's Organization, all over the United States. So people can actually volunteer and find out, you know, what it is. Like the people who are supporters are the ones who unfortunately have been touched by this tragedy, in the sense that somebody, people are non-believers till somebody in their family is affected. So it's always good to like give back to your community and go and volunteer and or if you don't have time to volunteer, contribute, because some of the first services that usually are taken away in budget cuts is access to mental health services as well as the shelters.
Mm-hmm. Great. Well, we actually have a question that we received via email from Pooja. And she says that her 18-year-old son has been acting out lately and is becoming violent towards both her and his sister. How should I handle this situation?
Yes, so since he's 18 years old, he's, I would still say that, I mean, so I can't really speak to this without really knowing how he's acting out and what he's doing. I think if Pooja hasn't already tried this, how about a family therapy session? It's all about setting goals, it's about talking to people and, you know, to a therapist who will get to the, I don't know if it's something happening in his life. I don't know if, you know, some if it is something that has he has seen and modeling the pattern. Like, you just don't act out at 18 years old if this is when it started. So I would be reluctant to speak to this till I actually would have maybe even spoken to the child, I mean the 18-year-old.
Mm-hmm. Well, how would you start going about this process when they're acting out, so to speak? Like, what's the first step?
Okay, yeah, I mean, the first step to take would be to try and kind of have a sit-down conversation away from the sister and just find out what is going on in this person's life. And knowing that most 18-year-olds would usually brush off whatever is being said by the parent, Pooja needs to see if, you know, what was the time in which this was brought on? Was it because of, like I said, external circumstances? You know, did they move? Was there like a breakup in the family, or what do you think could be happening? If that doesn't work, how about speaking to the school counselor and voicing concerns there? If they can afford or she feels as a family they could get together, I very highly recommend speaking to a family therapist. I also know culturally, South Asians think that they are okay and we have family that we can vent to, but I really want to put a plug in here for therapy. I'm not a therapist. I'm, you know, no therapist has paid me to say this, but I feel that if you don't have a lot of support, a therapist is an objective person who can help you figure out where you need to go or, you know, kind of do a family resolution.
Great. Well, we have our first caller as well. So, hi, you're on the air with Zoheb and Sarah. Tell us your name and your question.
Hi, my name is Maya, and I was just wondering, how do I confront an abuser? Yeah.
Okay. Hi, Maya. I guess at this point I want to ask you, you're confronting an abuser or your abuser?
Oh, no, it's my friend, and she's in an abusive relationship, and I was just wondering, like, how can I approach her boyfriend who is an abuser?
I'm not 100% sure, Maya. I mean, is your friend okay with you coaching your her boyfriend?
No, but I don't want her to be with him anymore.
Yes, but Maya, this is what, you know, I think the biggest help you can give your friend is to be there for her, even though you don't want her to be in this abusive relationship. You should, if possible, as much as possible, I recommend that you at least tell her and show her that you will be there for her no matter what. But
okay.
Confronting an abuser, I mean, unless you are friends with the abuser and then kind of taking your friend out of the picture, then you could have a conversation just as you would.
Uh-huh.
But if it is your friend, the chances are if you do that, you will alienate. You know, he's going to stop her from talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
And she's going to lose the one friend who is on her side.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and it has to come from her. You know, if somebody is systematically putting you down and you are not seeing the denial, there's always a time and place for it. And if you are there throughout for her and then just, you know, ask her questions and, you know, just be, keep telling her, I will be there for you no matter what you choose. But, you know, did you want to call an agency? She may turn around and say, no, there's nothing wrong with me. You are jealous. Then you take a time out and you're like, okay, I'm not jealous. I think you will realize this one day, but I'm going to be here for you no matter what, you know?
Okay.
It's hard. It's hard when you see that that's what is happening. You can walk her through a quiz that is on our website, which is, it's a very simple quiz. You can actually find it anywhere and say that, You know, does he embarrass you in front of, in publicly? Does he put you down? Does he make all the decisions? Does he intimidate you with guns? Does he slap you? I mean, I'm just telling you like simple things. And then also tell her, fine, if you don't want to talk to me, can you at least talk to, you know, whichever state she is in, ABC agency? And if she's not ready, that's okay. One day she will be ready. We can't make decisions for other people. It has to come from her.
Okay. All right.
I hope I answered your question.
Yes, yes, you did. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, my pleasure.
All right.
Thank you so much for calling, Maya.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
So, Sarah, I had a question in general. I was wondering, who are the people who are more likely to abuse? Is there a certain stereotype that people can watch out for, or...
Great, great, great question, Zuhaib. I'm so happy you asked me that. Absolutely not. Unfortunately, domestic violence does not, you know, there is nobody, what was I going to say? That basically domestic violence is something that is condoned by everybody, but at the same time, it happens to everybody. There is just no, you know, there is no person I can turn around and tell you, oh, this is what a complete batterer looks like, or this is what a profile of a victim is. And I can give you an example by, we serve people who are first and second generation women. They are, you know, all over South Asia. We also work with people who are from Afghanistan, Iran, just because they have nowhere else to go. And not only do they have diverse ethnicities, religions, educational backgrounds, but and support structures, but they also range from a homemaker all the way to a PhD. And the same is true of the batterer. So, you know, there is no fixed person that this is, here it is, and this is what the person looks like, either or. Go ahead.
Okay, so what are some of the resources then available for victims of domestic violence? There's my three, but do you know of any other sort of resources that could help them out?
Absolutely. Well, first I can tell you a little bit more about my three in terms that, you know, we are San Francisco Bay Area specific, but we get calls and emails all the, you know, from all over the world, especially a lot from our home countries. And things that, you know, such and such thing has happened to my daughter. Can you go get her? So what we offer them is basically cultural, specific, sensitive counseling. We also help work with them through our legal advocacy project where, you know, mainstream usually files a lot of restraining orders. We, on the other hand, end up... kind of taking care of a lot of divorce papers because they have these women have been served with divorce papers, but they end up, you know, in being in denial and sitting on them like you would say in India. And then because in India, unless you the both parties agree to it, divorce doesn't happen. But California and a lot of other states are default divorce states, so people can file for divorce and get it. And then we also have to work in the courts with immigration, language support, and also transnational intimidation that happens at all the time. So because of that, we realized that a shelter stay is only a 30, 50-day stay, and when women come in with all these issues about immigration, immigration and family law, and then housing issues where they may not even have, a credit card to their name, no credit history. So we opened up our transitional home. And then once we, people stay in our transitional home rent-free until they start earning a certain amount, and then we try and place them in permanent housing. Our transitional home is a slightly different program from the rest of the Maitri program where we are basically, we have it open to everybody. It's not just open to South Asians. It's open to everybody. And this transitional home is fully functional and we have a wait list of at least about 20 people at any given time. And we don't only help South Asians, but also non-South Asians. And the people domestic violence victims are primarily homeless. and they follow in the zero, in the, you know, 10 to 15% of the poverty line. But the people we serve with are really marginalized, and they are even lower than, you know, they have anywhere from 0 to 30%. And other services that come their way, what we try and help them with is like putting them in for ESL classes, putting them in for driving lessons, you know, if they need a vocational course, that is what we'll help them with. And that's what a lot of other agencies, like I mentioned, the South Asian agencies across the country will also work with people. One of the first things I would say is if you're eligible, please do apply for public benefits. That would really help, you know, you move forward in your life. And other than that, there are different legal offices, like the Bay Area Legal Aid, which offer you free services, but there's a waiting list for them. So you could use those services also. At Maitri, we also have people, you know, go for therapy at like pro bono or sliding scale basis, if that's what they want, and then do support groups and art therapy with the children.
Okay, great. Well, unfortunately, we are almost out of time, so I just want to make sure that we get your contact information. So if our listeners want to contact you with further questions, what would be the best way for them to do that?
Absolutely. So the best way to reach us is through our website, which is www.maitri.org, or they can also like us on Facebook at Bay Area Maitri, or you can call our office line at 408-436-8393. Another way to help us is we have a fundraiser coming up July 28th. It's in the Bay Area, so you can always come, you know, volunteer with us and see if you like the work that we do.
Awesome. Great. Well, I have one final question for you then, Sarah, which is
okay.
Something that I was wondering personally is that when I did a lot of my research, it said that domestic violence is something that's a recurring thing. So my question for you is it possible for an abuser to change? Because I feel a lot of people get put into this situation multiple times because of that hope
mm-hmm.
that it's not going to happen again.
Mm-hmm. So I want to say that the onus is on the abuser. It is up to us as humans. We don't have the power to change anybody, right? That is what people keep saying, that, oh, if only I get married to so-and-so, I will most probably change that person. But the change lies, if a person has to change, they can. Have I seen it? No. So I don't know if I answered your question.
Okay, well, that was just one final question that I had for you. So thank you so much for a great and very informative show, Sarah. And I think Maitri is doing a fantastic job. And the best of luck to both you and the organization.
Thank you so much, Sahid. My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Let us know what you thought of our show by filling out a quick and easy 5-minute survey. It's up on our website under the Mind Matters section. Your input is very valuable to us as we try to improve this overall show for you. So please take the time to fill it out. For more information on My Sahana, you can go to www.mysahana.org. A quick update on future My Sahana events. We have our open house on May 26th. At the Fremont Main Library from 3 to 5. Come by to find out more about My Sahana and the work that we do. Next week, we have another great show for everyone as we discuss the topic of nutrition. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in today, and join the conversation next week as we open minds to a healthier tomorrow.
Mind Matters is a radio show produced by My Sahana. To learn more about My Sahana, visit www.mysahana.org.